Well, I want to welcome all of you joining us online around the world, and aloha to all of you here in Hawaii. And I want to welcome all of you that are back from our Easter services as you watched them online last week. We're so glad that you're back with us. And I want to give a special shout out to everybody who is watching this online through the Correctional Center locations where we broadcast our services. We're so glad that you're with us today. Well, as we jump to the message, I think we can all agree that things have changed a lot in the last several weeks. And I mean, what a year we've had, and it's only April. I mean, so much has changed since the beginning of March. And, you know, for me, whenever I go through difficulties and hardships, I like to find some humor in it, you know, because laughter is like medicine to the soul. And so I came across a few memes just to kind of give us a little bit of laughter during these difficult times. And I think these memes kind of capture some of the things that we've been going through. So here's one. Me after I eat all my quarantine snacks in one night. Here's one. First time in history, we can save the human race by laying in front of the TV and doing nothing. Let's not screw this up. Here's another one. Stay inside, isolate, or practice social distancing, clean yourself. OMG, I've become a house cat. Cats do have it good, I must say. Here's one from a homeschooling mom. She says, homeschool day one. Wondering how I can get this kid transferred out of my class. Here's a mom who's working from home and her kids have been driving her nuts. She has a great solution if you can relate to that. Here's what you do. Working from home, you just tie up the kids. Just tie them up. All right, this next one is related to how all of the salons and haircut places are shut down. And so how we're all going to look 18 months after cutting our own hair. That one just cracks me up. And so, you know, these last few weeks, we've been through some stuff in our lives, haven't we? I mean, we've been experiencing things we never thought we would go through in our lifetime. And I mean, think about it. Think of everything that's vacant right now. Hotels are vacant. Restaurants are vacant. We have malls that are completely vacant. We have businesses that have shut down. We have people that have been laid off, people that have been furloughed. We're dealing with a lack of resources in many areas. I mean, we've heard the stories about people who are just trying to find out how they're going to put food on the table. I mean, there's just a lack of resources. And all of these changes and challenges that have happened in the last few weeks have really caused a lot of us to feel stress. They've caused us to feel some frustration, some fear, some anger maybe in some cases. And this is just the world we live in right now. And we don't know when things are going to end. Like, we don't know for sure when we're going to be able to be released from quarantine. We don't know when certain schools will be opening up. We don't know if or when there'll be graduations. We don't know what our summer plans are. We don't know when sports will return. We don't know when the economy will fully rebound. There's just a lot of unknowns that are happening. And when we go through fear and stress and hardships, and there's a lot of unknowns, we can just feel like things are against us. And maybe you have been feeling in the last few weeks or even today that things are against you. I mean, maybe you feel like, gosh, this coronavirus thing, this has just caused me to feel like things are against me. Many of us who've been home around our loved ones, though we love them, we've just been around them a long time, and we can feel like maybe our family's against us because of the tension in the home. Some of us might be feeling like, you know, homeschooling is against us, or all of these changes on the job. I just feel like my job is against me. Maybe you feel like the economy is against you. Maybe you feel like your own depression or discouragement, or just feeling the blahs from all the cabin fever of being home. You just feel like that's against you. And, you know, it's just in these times that it's normal for us to feel like things are against us. And when we feel like things are against us, it's common for us to feel like, God, can you do something in this? I mean, God, what are you doing in all of this? You know, I mean, if you're for me and you're aware of all that I'm going through, like, why don't you do a miracle and change some of these things that I'd like to see change, like now? I mean, have any of you felt that lately? You know, these are normal questions to wrestle with. And that's why we're starting a brand new series today that we're going to do for the next 6 weeks that is called When God Doesn't Make Sense. And if we're just honest, there's times in our life where we're going through hardships and we just go, God, you don't make sense. I don't get this. Or the situations don't make sense. And so over the next 6 weeks, we're going to talk about what do you do when you go through hardships? What do you do when you go through pain and suffering? What do you do when God doesn't make sense? What do you do when God doesn't answer your prayers? What do you do when things don't make sense? Now, there's a guy in the Bible who went through hardships and suffering, and as you look at the stuff he went through, you think, man, that just doesn't make sense. His name was Job, and Job went through a lot of physical pain and suffering. And in this next verse, he shares with us how all of us go through hardships. Take a look at what he says here. Job 5, 6 through 7. He says, hardship doesn't spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Yet man is born to troubles, surely as sparks fly upward. Job says, we all go through troubles and hardships, just like sparks fly up out of a fire. The Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody goes through hardships and difficulties. And I think sometimes when Christians go through these hardships, we can think, God, you don't make sense. I mean, why are you allowing all this pain and difficulty in my life? And, you know, Jesus was real honest. He never promised us a conflict-free life. In fact, look at how he said it this way in John 16:33. He said, you will have suffering in this world. Jesus didn't hold back. He did let us know that pain, hardship, it's a big part of life for everyone. It reminds me of the story of this man, and he got very ill. And as he laid sick in bed, his wife faithfully took care of him. She was by his side every single day. And one day he knew he didn't have much longer to live, and so he signaled his wife to come over, and he looked at her in the eyes, and he said, you know what, honey? You've always been there for me. He said, when I got fired, you were there to support me. When I got fired, you were there to comfort me. He said, when I lost the house, you were there. And when my health started failing, you were there for me. And then he looked over at her and he leaned into her and he said, you know what, honey? She said, what, dear? He said, I think you're bad luck. You didn't expect that, did you? Now, obviously that's a joke. And, you know, I do think it's good to laugh during difficult times. And a lot of us need laughter right now. But that joke touches on some thoughts that all of us have had during our own difficulties in life. And that is that we start to ask these questions, why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? God, why are you allowing me to go through pain and suffering? Now, there's a guy that was my pastor years ago before I became a pastor. His name is Lee Strobel. And he had a survey conducted and commissioned, and a bunch of people across America were asked this question. And the question was this: if you could ask God a question and you knew he would respond to you, what would that question to God be? And so what do you think people said they wanted to ask God? This was the number one question that people wanted to ask God. And the question was this: God, why is there so much pain and suffering? God, why in this world is there so much pain and suffering? Now, as Lee Strobel was looking at the survey data, he noticed that there was a group of people that asked this question the most. the largest subgroup of people that asked this question, do you know who they were? It was the married people. Married people. If you just laughed, that's because you're all married. And a lot of married people were wondering, why is there so much pain and suffering, right? But you know what? This question was also asked by a lot of other people in this survey. And this just brings us to the point, is that we often wonder, if we're just honest, we say this, God, if you're caring and if you're so loving, why is there so much pain and suffering in this world? Why, God, do you allow me to go through so many hardships and difficulties that cause us pain? I mean, like, God, like, why didn't you just create a world where there is no pain and suffering? Why didn't you just create the earth with no pain and suffering? And the reality is God did create the earth with no pain and suffering at the beginning. We read this in Genesis, and we see that in the very beginning, that the earth was perfect, and there was no suffering, and there was no pain, and there were no viruses, and there were no hurricanes and earthquakes and fires. But we read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, that after God created mankind, Adam and Eve, he gave them the freedom to choose. And he gave them this free will to choose to follow God or not to follow God. He's given all of us the same free will. And we all know the story. Adam and Eve used that freedom of choice to choose to disobey God. And the Bible says in Genesis that once they disobeyed God, sin entered the world. And our world became cursed. And so the Bible says that it became corrupted with thorns and thistles as it entered the world. And so when Adam and Eve used their free will to sin in this perfect world, it became cursed. And we've all sinned. If we are Adam and Eve, we would have done the same thing because all of us have sinned. But as a result of that sin, that choice to disobey, our world has become broken. We live on a broken planet with broken people. And the curse has caused droughts, has caused our planet to be broken with floods and hurricanes and earthquakes and tornadoes, which we've heard about in the news this week, fires, wars, terrorism, and yes, viruses. And so God did create the world without pain and suffering, but we chose to disobey him, and as a result of that, the world has been cursed. Now, here's the good news, because that's pretty grim. The good news is that this is why Jesus Christ came into this world. So Jesus came, God sent his one and only Son, God incarnation, God in flesh, and he lived a sinless life, and then he died on the cross to pay for my sins and your sins so that he could reverse the curse. And so Jesus said that one day he's going to come back to this earth and he's going to create a new earth and a new heaven. And so he will reverse the curse and the earth will be perfect and pain-free and there will be no more suffering and there will be no wheelchairs and there will be no disability and there'll be no terrorists. It's going to be a perfect place. And so that's what we get to look forward to. Now, I know a lot of us are thinking, it's like, well, what about now? I mean, what about all the pain and suffering now that we have to deal with? Well, here's some good news, is that Jesus is doing things to reverse the curse now, even before this new earth and this new heaven are reestablished, he is reversing the curse. And so how does Jesus reverse the curse? Well, here's what I want you to think about. The next time you're going through hardship and you're going, man, God, why? Why is this happening? God, you don't make sense. I want you to remember this instead. Switch your questioning from why to this. And that is that God promises to bring good out of the bad. You may want to take a picture of this. God promises to bring the good out of all the bad that you and I go through. Now, here's where we find this. Very famous verse, Romans 8:28. But we're going to unpack this in great detail. It says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good, for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So Paul was saying here that in all things we go through, the good and the bad, God works for the good. He extracts good out of bad. Now he does this for those who love him. In other words, God does not promise to bring good out of bad for everybody. He does not promise to reverse the curse for everybody. He promises to do that for those who have a relationship with God, the Bible says. For those who love him, who follow him. This is why it's so important to have a relationship with Jesus. Because then he says, listen, everything you go through, the good and the bad, Jesus says, I promise, I will bring some good out of that bad. Now, this verse does not say that all things are good. No, cancer's not good. Coronavirus is certainly not good. But Paul says, but we know. We don't wonder if God's going to bring good out of it. We don't go, gosh, I sure hope he brings some good out of this coronavirus. Paul says with certainty, we know. And listen, Paul went through far more difficult hardships than you and I have ever gone through. He knew that God promises to bring good, excuse me, out of bad. We just don't always see it. We don't always see the good that he brings out. Oftentimes we do, but sometimes we don't. Kind of reminds me of the story of Corrie ten Boom. And Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian, and her and her family helped a bunch of Jews escape from the Nazi Holocaust during World War II. And Corrie and her father and her sister actually got captured from the Nazis, and they were placed into this Nazi concentration camp where they were beaten, they were tortured, and they were starved. And sadly, Corrie's sister Betsy died in that concentration camp. Well, Corrie and her father were eventually released from that concentration camp, and Corrie wrote a book called The Hiding Place. In fact, they actually made a movie about her story. And Corrie went around the world before she died in the 80s, and she just told everybody about God and his love. And when Corrie would talk to audiences about God, there'd be a point within her message that she would pull out this cloth, and she would hold it up, and it looked like this. It was the back of a tapestry. And she'd say, you see the back of this tapestry? It's like there's all of these knots. There's this just random mess. I mean, it's not beautiful at all. You look at this and there's a lot of colors. There's bright colors. There's some dark colors. And she said, you know, this is kind of our perspective of our lives. Is that we can get worried about things and our stomach gets tied up in knots. And we can look at things and go, gosh, my life, there's just so many messes in it. And it doesn't make sense. There's so many random things that are just happening in my life. I know a lot of us have felt that way the last several weeks. So many random things that have been happening. But Corrie said, this is our limited perspective. This is not God's perspective of our life, because God has a bigger perspective. As the book of Isaiah says, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when God looks at our lives, this is what he sees. And she flipped over the tapestry. There's this beautiful crown on the other side. This produced this. And the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we will receive a crown of righteousness. And that we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to God. And that we will be able to enjoy those rewards for thousands of years. But Corrie would talk about how this is our perspective of life, but this is God's. And we don't always know how he's weaving in the hardships and difficulties and the randomness and the dark times. We don't always see how he's weaving that in to a beautiful masterpiece. But one day we will. One day we will see how God has taken the hard times in our lives, the ups and downs, and he brought good out of all things. One day we will see that. We don't see it now. And that's why a lot of times we're like, God, you don't make sense. I don't get this. Like, God, why did you allow them to die so young? God, why did you allow this? Why did you allow that? And we have a limited perspective. God's ways are higher than ours. And the Bible says that one day when we get to heaven, this is good, listen, one day when we get to heaven, we will get to see and we will get to understand everything that we went through. Look at how it says it in 1 Corinthians. It says this, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. It's like now when we look at certain things in our life, it just doesn't make sense. But then when we get in heaven, we will see everything with perfect clarity. We'll see that tapestry of our life flipped. All that we know now here on earth, it's partial, it's incomplete. But then in heaven, I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, God's going to help you understand everything. And you're going to look at some of the things you've gone through in the past that were really hard and painful, and some of the stuff you're going through right now that's very difficult, that may not make sense, and you're going to go, oh, wow, God, you really do work all things for good. Thank you. And you're going to praise him, and you're going to glorify him for the amazing good that he brought out of the most horrific things that you and others have gone through. But until then, we don't always know. In fact, if you were to ask me, hey, Dave, why did God allow the coronavirus pandemic? I would give you a three-word answer. I'd say, I don't know. I mean, I don't have God's eyes. I don't have God's vantage point. I don't know. We can all speculate why the coronavirus has hit, why God allowed it, you know, but none of us really know. Only God knows. But here's what I've learned as a pastor over the last 20 years, and that is that honestly, when people are going through hardships, though they may ask why, they don't really need explanations. What people need in hardship is they need Jesus Christ. They need his comfort. They need his love. They need his support. And they need the support of his people around them. And so I would just say this. Let's not live by God's explanations. Let's live by God's promises. One day it'll all make sense. But until then, we're going to trust that God is good. And we're going to know that one day he's going to make the earth perfect. There'll be no more suffering. But until then, Jesus is reversing the curse. So what I want to talk about now is what are some of the ways that Jesus reverses the curse now? Well, if you're taking notes, write this down. This is really important. The next time you're going through pain and suffering, it doesn't make sense to you, write this down. God uses all things to draw me closer to Jesus. Have you noticed how pain can draw us closer to God? We have our New Hope Winward services in the largest women's prison in Hawaii. And I remember visiting some of the inmates not too long ago, and they were sharing with me how God has worked in their lives. And I remember one of the inmates sharing with me about how the day she was sentenced, she said, it was the worst day of my life. And when I walked into this prison, it was so difficult. But after a while of being here, I got invited by some other Christian inmates in here. I got invited to the New Hope Winward services you have here, Dave. And it was there at those services that I was introduced to Jesus. And she said, you know, he's changed my life a lot. And that's saying a lot, Dave, because I grew up in a very abusive family. And when she shared with me what she went through, it was unimaginable abuse. Horrific. And she said, as a result of that environment, she said, I just felt so unworthy. And she said, but now I feel worthy. Because when God looks at me, he says, that's my masterpiece. And she had tears running down her face. And she said, Dave, for years I carried all this guilt and shame because I felt like such a horrible person. But Dave, now I no longer carry that guilt and shame for what I've done wrong. She said, because God has forgiven me of all my sins. She's like, it's amazing to live life with no shame. I said, yeah, it sure is. And then she said, you know, Dave, I've had so much brokenness in my life, but God has healed me of so much. And these tears of gratitude continued to stream down her face. And she said, you know, before I met Jesus, I hardly had any joy or peace. She said, I'm in prison and it's really hard in here. But I have more joy and peace in here than I had outside of here. I was just like, yeah, Jesus is awesome. And then she said this. She said, you know, in this prison, it's hard, but the worst thing that's happened to me has become the best thing because it was in here that I met Jesus. And you know, when I heard her story, I thought, that's a reverse the curse story. That's what Jesus specializes in. Is that sometimes he will allow pain. He doesn't cause the pain in our life, but he'll allow it to draw us closer to him. I mean, how many times have we started to pray more when we're going through difficulties? And so one of the ways God reverses the curse is that he draws us closer to him. And I want to just say this. I don't know what you're going through, but if you're going through a lot of difficulty right now, can I encourage you, don't run from God, even if things don't make sense, even when he disappoints you. Because there's times he will not meet your expectations. But when that happens, don't run from him. Let that pain draw you closer to him. And all the various difficulties we're going through, allow the pain and frustration of that to draw all of us closer to God during these times. Because Proverbs says it this way, Proverbs 20:30, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. And, you know, I was thinking, wow, you know, our church can't meet physically anymore. And, you know, that's the first time ever in our history of the world that churches haven't been able to meet. I mean, for hundreds and hundreds of years. And certainly in our lifetime, we've never experienced this. And a lot of people would say that's such a bad thing. And it is difficult in many ways. But you know what? God promises to bring good out of everything, including when churches can't meet. And so get this. Last week, we celebrate our Easter services. And normally at our Easter services, we have a little over 3,000 people that meet when we can physically gather. And last week, our very first Easter online, get this, we had 4,106 people tune in. Actually, those were devices. So 4,106 devices tuned into our services online. And you know, there was probably a few people at behind some of those TVs and iPads and phones. And so very easily, we could have had 5,000 or more people attend our Easter services. In other words, we had record Easter attendance when we've been going through a very big difficulty as a church, not being able to meet. I thought, man, that's what you do, Jesus. That's what you do so well. You bring good out of bad. And one of the reasons I think that so many people are tuning in online to not only our church, but other churches around the world is because the pain is drawing them closer to Jesus. And though we don't like the difficulties, it's never a bad place to be when you're near Jesus. And so allow the pain to draw you closer to him. Let me share with you another way that Jesus reverses the curse. Here's another way. You may want to write this down. God uses all things to make me more like Jesus. Not only does God use all things to draw us closer to him, he also uses all things to make us more like him. Now, this is very important, okay? You got to catch this. One of God's number one goals for your life and mine is for us to become more like him. God wants us to become like Jesus. Ever wonder what Jesus is like? Just look at Galatians chapter 5. It's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to become more loving, more patient, more joyful, full of peace, gentleness, self-control, goodness, serving others. That is a picture of Jesus. God wants us to become that way. And so in our hardships in life, God can use those difficulties to form Jesus inside of us. For instance, when you're going through difficulties with a coworker, God can use that to make you more like Jesus by helping you become more patient and helping you exert more self-control. When you have a colicky baby and you're like, ah, God can use that to teach you patience. When people lose their jobs, God can use that to teach them to trust God. When people are unemployed and they're wondering, oh man, how are we going to get through this? God can use that to teach them that he is a provider and that we can become like Jesus. Jesus was completely dependent on the Father, and we too can become that. God can use disease and viruses to teach us the value of heaven and that earth here is not our home. This is not our final destination. God can remind us of that during difficulties. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that God causes all these difficulties in our lives. Frankly, let's just be honest. Most of the hardships in our life happen because of our mistakes or other people's mistakes. Isn't that true? But God can use some of that and bring good out of it, and he can make us more like Jesus. And so Jesus loves to reverse the curse by bringing good out of bad. He loves to draw us closer to him when we're going through difficulties, and he loves to help us become more like Jesus. So remember that the next time you're going through that. But there's something that's important for us to do in the midst of hardships, and that is something we all need to do right now during this coronavirus season. And that is we need to learn to surrender and trust God even when things don't make sense. Even when things are out of control, we need to learn to trust him. And I think there's an image of this that has helped me remember this big time. And that is when we look at the image of the trapeze artist. And what we see here is that when trapeze artists do their acts, it's kind of interesting. I learned about this week. Here you have the catcher and here you have the flyer. Now, I never knew this about trapeze artists, but when you're a flyer, your job is to let go of the trapeze bar, to put your arms out, and to completely trust the catcher to catch you. Now, what I didn't know is that the flyer never tries to catch the arms of the catcher. It is the catcher's job to catch the flyer. And the flyer's never to try to catch the catcher. And when I learned that, I thought, man, what a picture of how a lot of us feel. You know, back in February, first, before all this coronavirus stuff hit, we were all holding on to the trapeze bar and we felt secure, everything's all good. But then that bar got pulled out from our hands, right? All these changes have happened, all these things out of our control, and we're like this flyer in the air. No control over so many things in our lives right now. And what God is wanting us to remember is that he's the catcher, and that he will catch us, and that he can be trusted while we're flying in the air with no control. God can catch us. And so I don't know how you felt kind of out of control lately, or how you felt like, oh man, God, are you going to catch us with our financial difficulties? Or God, are you going to catch us with these relationship issues that we're going through? Like, God, are you going to catch us and keep us safe? A lot of us have been wondering that. You can be assured that when you have a relationship with Jesus, that his arms are capable and that he will catch you and he will hold on to those arms. You and I, we just got to let go and trust him. Now, let me just say this. Think about how fun it is for flyers who trust their catchers. Think about it. They fly, woo, flip, flip, flip. Ah, they're going to catch me, woo. They get caught by the catcher. Oh, this is awesome. Why don't we go through the rest of this coronavirus season like a flyer who completely trusts their catcher? Like, why don't we go through this coronavirus craze like a flyer, just saying, God's going to catch our finances. God's going to rebound our economy eventually. God's going to take care of all these job changes and challenges. God's going to take care of my loved one. God's going to take care of these relationship issues. God's going to catch us like he's done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. God brings good out of bad, and I'm going to let the bad draw me closer to him, and I'm going to let the bad make me more like him, but God will catch me because he promises to bring good out of bad. Let's do that, everyone. Let's enjoy what we can in this season. Yes, it's difficult, but let's trust that God's going to bring good out of it, and let's enjoy what we can in this season because God is strong, God is all-powerful, and God is going to catch you. Can you say amen to that? Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, what I want to do right now is I want to lead us in a time of prayer. And so you may be in your living room, you may be watching this in your car or in a room, you may be with others or not, wherever you're at, here's what I want us to do. This is something different. We've never done this. I'm going to ask us to close our eyes. Of course, we've done that all the time. But I'm going to ask you to reach your hands out. Just reach them out comfortably. And the reason I want you to do that is because I want you to be symbolically showing God that you're going to trust him in this season. That you're going to trust him to catch you. That you're going to enjoy what you can in this season. That you're going to trust him to catch you in whatever areas that you may be doubting him in. That God, I'm choosing to completely let go, completely surrender my life to you, and trust you and enjoy the process. Because God, you bring good out of bad. Let's do that. So if you would, let's all close our eyes, and I'll lead us in a time of prayer. But just reach your hands out right now as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed. And that's just your way of saying, God, I'm going to trust you. Jesus, as our hands are extended, you know that many of us have been feeling a little out of control. Like we've been flying through the air and we're not sure how it's all going to end up. But you're a great catcher. And Jesus, I'm putting my hope in you. And so Jesus, would you catch me, hold me? Would you assure me of your presence? God, give me your peace. God, I trust you. Thank you for all the times you've caught me in the past. Thank you for your almighty arms to catch me now and in the days ahead. As everybody's heads are bowed, with your arms still extended, just comfortably extended, just say these words out loud. Just say, Jesus, I put my trust in you. I put my faith in you. I thank you, God, that you catch me. And that you're going to see that I'm delivered safely to heaven to spend eternity with you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. I'm going to finish praying for us. Father, I just pray for people today that are facing hardships. I pray for those who are facing difficult marriages, difficult relationships. I pray for those who are facing hardships with their children, hardships with their finances, hardships with their emotions. God, bring healing, bring provision, reverse the curse. God, we are going to go forward remembering that you promised to bring good out of bad, remembering that these hardships can draw us closer to you. We're not going to run from you. We're going to run to you. And we're going to remember that these can make us more like you. We want to be more like you, Jesus. So thank you for reversing the curse. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or you recommitted your life to Jesus, if you're watching this online, you could click the button that you raised your hand below. And if any of you have any prayer requests, you can go ahead and just fill out the prayer requests. There's a button right below if you're watching this online. And our prayer team would love to pray for you. And lastly, I want to say this. You know, we're all, you know, we're not together physically, right? But we can get together digitally. And I want to encourage you to consider joining one of our When God Doesn't Make Sense online small groups. And if you text the word groups to this number, you will get a link that'll take you to our website and it'll show you a list of all of our small groups. And I would encourage you, just take a look at it and consider test driving being a part of an online small group, because we have some great curriculum. We're going to teach you some things in that we won't have time to teach you on our messages here online. But man, I think you find that really helpful, especially in this time where we're so distanced from people. You can connect with people digitally. So I encourage you to check that out. But I want to just once again, before we end here, just say thanks for joining us and thanks for being with us. We're so glad that you came back and watched service. Or if this is your first time, thanks for joining us. I hope you join us next week as we talk about part two of When God Doesn't Make Sense. So may God bless you. Take care.